live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode number 35 of Email Marketing Today. Happy holidays to everyone out there. And in the studio here today, we have Ross Kramer and Karen Ness with us, and Megan Ouellette also. How are you guys all doing?
Great.
Good.
Hi, Brent.
We're getting in the holiday spirit around here. We have all the decorations up around the office, and we have our holiday party tomorrow night. Really looking forward to that. Everyone's pretty psyched about that. So
complete with the Yankee swap.
Yankee swap. Always a good time. Always a good time. Yankee swap.
I was just caught the Yankee swap episode of The Office the other night. Now that it's on syndication.
Classic.
You get to watch all your old favorites.
Yeah, so, coming down towards the end of the year, and it's time to start looking at 2010 and looking at marketing budgets. And we just so happen to have a white paper that Megan is about to release. Should be available on the website under the resources area by the time this podcast is posted. So you can log on to listtrack.com under the resources to download that. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about that here today. The title is 3 Steps to a Higher Return on Your Email Marketing Investment. I thought we'd talk through those 3 tips here today. The first one being work smarter, not harder.
Sounds good to me. Should we take the rest of the day off?
No.
Yeah, I think this goes along with kind of the theme of the economy doing more with less. I think marketers continue to see email as sort of the workhorse providing revenue to the bottom line. So surely makes sense to have your email programs, you know, work smarter versus harder. And the harder is probably based on list churn, perhaps. That could be one of the, you know, the outcomes of working your list
hard. I think another way to look at that is to look at where you can automate, you know, where you can use a conductor, for example, put together a conversation in order to automate your welcome series. In order to automate conversations with your customers.
Yeah. No doubt. I think, additionally, running things like welcome series, and one of the strategies that's been really effective for our customers over the holiday season here, specifically with Black Friday, was using Conductor to automate re-engagement.
Yeah, that worked out really, really well.
You know, there's a great, speaking of, you know, working smarter and not harder, is I know one of our retailers saw about 40% return from their original campaign in terms of ROI, revenue, real dollars, by resending the campaign to people that didn't open, read, or click through previously.
Yeah, and that was 3 days later, and all they did was change the subject line. So the content, the email itself was the same. They changed the subject line. And some really good returns on that.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, call it a spammy tactic. You know, maybe some of the zealots that are listening in or would call it that. But, you know, I think one of the challenges that we're seeing is as more people begin to use email marketing and it becomes more available, your competition in the inbox is growing. And I think what we're finding is that single email within your email campaign isn't enough to capture the attention of your full audience.
Yeah, and I don't know if spammy tactic, as long as you have the permission there. I know one of the things I actually was really concerned about when this idea was being tossed around was, you know, wanted to really monitor the abuse complaints there in that second message going out. And I was concerned we were going to see a drastic increase. We didn't. So it was, you know, very pretty much similar to the very first message that went out. So, yeah, so I would say that's definitely something that you want to do if you do that strategy. But definitely, if you're testing that, make sure that you're paying attention to your unsubscribes and your abuse complaints, anything like that, on that second message that's going out. And if, you know, if your returns are, you know, balancing that out, then it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah. And I think the particular retailer that we were looking at made something like, say, $60,000 on that initial campaign that was sent, say, on Thursday, and then on Saturday on the follow-up campaign, and the dates are wrong, but they saw $40,000 of revenue come through by doing nothing but changing, you know, the subject line and resending that. Using Conductor, it was completely automated. Nobody came in on Saturday, you know, to do that. So great tactic for sure, you know, heading into the holidays to extract as much revenue from your list as possible.
Definitely. And also, you know, any e-tailers out there looking at re-engaging those clients that have not purchased for a year, you know, no purchase for a year, you can have that automated as well to have a win back conversation. So yeah, definitely some things that could be done there to definitely work smarter, not harder in 2010.
Yeah, I guess I would point to speaking of the win back, would be the built-in engagement metrics with EndlessTrack. If you're not using those things, you've got it automatically pre-populated within your ListTrack account that's in the, you know, as part of the profile of every one of your contacts within your ListTrack account is last open and last click, I believe, Brent?
Yeah, so last open, last click, and last read.
You know, so great way to launch win-back campaigns.
So number two, take your email strategy off autopilot. And I think here it's just, you know, making sure that you're paying attention. I think things here, you know, some of the things that you can automate, you need to make sure that you revisit. I know, for example, I have seen multiple occasions where I have gotten a welcome message back and the copyright date hasn't been changed because someone, you know, put that together a year ago and they never came back and updated it. Or the picture is seasonal and it completely doesn't fit into, you know, now that it's winter. So I think things like that where you do have some automation in place and you want to make sure that you step back and you're revisiting those things.
Yeah, makes sense. But don't do this if you're a Northwest airline pilot. Do not overshoot your email marketing goals by 200 miles. Is the strategy there? And I think you saw this with a few of the welcome messages that you were checking out a few weeks ago. I think we had mentioned that on a podcast where one of them was like, "You got an email welcome message was like confidential."
Yeah, it was. Yep, yep. That was the Dillard's welcome message there. Yeah, that one was really surprising. But yeah, so making sure that, and also being aware of your metrics, you know, really diving into your metrics. You have a wealth of information that is sitting there to be explored. And it kind of hurts me sometimes to know that this, you know, all this information, all these metrics are available. And I know it does take, you know, some time and energy in order to explore those metrics. But, you know, in the end, it's going to be worth it because that's really your benchmark. You know, a lot of people are always looking for, you know, what is the industry average for click-through rates or open rates or, you know, you really have to pay attention to your own benchmark and improve upon that by testing and by, you know, paying attention to your metrics and always trying to increase your own click-through rates, your own open rates for your messages.
Yeah, I think the data is really key. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see email marketers really crave more for the data to be using that data because that's where the higher ROI is gonna come in, and the real payoff is gonna come in is using that data, using things that you know you can understand to deliver higher relevancy. And you know, I know we're making it easier every quarter as we you know release new features. Speaking of which, Brent, we probably maybe a little deviation here, but you know that's what the podcast is all about. Go down on bunny trails, Omniture. For Q1 2010?
Yeah. So right now we're tentatively looking at the towards the end of February to launch. But yeah, so Omniture integration, which would be passing off analytic data to Omniture so you can track your email campaigns through Omniture and also being able to import back into ListTrack to create profiles based off of groupings, those that hit a certain page on your site or take some kind of actions you have set up. When you set those reports up in Omniture, you could bring that back into ListTrack to create profile attributes off of and segments off of those people.
Yeah, probably would be good to mention our last webinar speaker, Avinash, who is
Google's evangelist.
Evangelist, yeah. And that webinar is archived.
It is.
Yeah.
It's out on demand.
Great webinar. Loved. He's entertaining as well as informative, and he is the man when it comes to web analytics out there. And it was a great webinar.
I say this all the time, but it was one of our best ever.
All
our best.
Yeah. I would second that.
Yeah. He was really great. Leading off the webinar by saying, you know, your mission should be to not suck.
Love that.
I think he said, you know, there's no reason to suck with all of the great tools available, many of them free. You know, there's no reason that you can't be implementing programs that really speak relevantly to your audience.
My favorite quote from the webinar was, if you're not segmenting your lists, you're committing a crime against humanity, which is true. And that leads us into our third point, take the time to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. My grandfather used to say, if you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to come back and do it again? So
it's true.
You know, Megan's talking about, you know, organically growing your list. I think that's, you know, it surely starts with a good list. We spend a lot of time talking about segmentation and dynamic content and triggered messaging and things like that. And sometimes we forget to talk a lot about acquisition, but it is really big. We know that industry standard is still, you know, 20 to 30% of your list is going to churn each year. And, you know, I was thinking last night as I was listening to the Net Zero commercial, you guys have probably, you know, seen that. And it just sort of struck me, holy mackerel, they're still talking about dial-up, you know? And, you know, with the economy, you know, it's funny because we all have jobs, right? But, you know, there's a lot of people that are out of work and I'm sure are staring at that. You know, I got my Comcast bill. What's high speed, like $80 a month or something for cable? And, you know, if you're thinking $80 for cable or $80 for groceries, you may be taking a real close look at net zero. And I was actually thinking about hitting our database to see how many new net zero customers we were seeing to not only see the efficacy of their marketing efforts, because, I mean, I think that was like prime time. I know it was prime time. It was like 5:30 or 6 o'clock when I was, you know, heard that, you know, that commercial. Mark Goldstein, CEO. Save the American taxpayers billions of dollars, I believe, by switching to net zero. I have not been paid by net zero. Also, don't know Mark Goldstein. But that's a, you know, a classic case of perhaps switching from Comcast.net to net zero. And then as the economy comes back, switching from net zero to Verizon, to Comcast, or, you know, whatever is going to be the next big thing. Telco mergers and acquisitions still seem to be marching on. In fact, our regional telephone company right here, D&E Communications, was just bought by Windstream. So there's a few 10,000 or so email addresses that are going to be changing. So anyway.
So yeah, I think like we were talking about earlier, automating, you know, using conversations, using event triggers, event triggered messaging in order to automate your conversations, is also something that takes a little bit of time initially, but will save you a lot of time in the long run, a lot of manual effort that would need to go into doing these kinds of things in a manual sense rather than setting them up and automating them.
Brent, I'm going to automate my cell phone to not bring So the other great thing about this podcast is that sort of we kind of bear some of our personal things. Like I bore the fact that I was a longtime Eudora user. So we're well into 2010 and my Outlook downgrade and, you know, I'm doing okay, you know, finally off of the meds there to keep me stable. And the other thing that I will share is that, so my wife is due for our second child at any time. So that's really why the cell phone is in the podcast, because apparently we can go to the go to the hospital anytime.
Russ might not be at the holiday party tomorrow night. Who knows?
We'll see. We'll see. If my wife had to do had anything to do with it, she would not have me at the holiday party. Rather at the hospital delivering, because she is ready to go. But surely automation is absolutely one thing to you know, to look at in 2010 as we still hope that the economy recovers, you know, sooner than later. It makes sense to automate a lot of the processes that are happening here, and also look at some of the other processes that are also happening automatically now, and seeing if you can't maximize those things, specifically in your transactional messages. You know, I'd offer this up as one thing to look at. You know, somebody's going to come through. There's going to be some shift in the industry soon with all of these automated messages that are being sent from the big social networking sites and things like that. Google alerts, LinkedIn updates, Facebook updates. Somebody is going to come out with some market-changing fact that's going to add some marketing value into those transactional messages. It's got to happen, because there's billions of those messages being sent right now, and it's all based around a cost center. And somebody's going to figure out a way to turn that into a profit center. And for the guys that are listening in the podcast, think about the, you know, thank you for registering on our site, that completely stark, naked text messaging that the guys in IT cooked up, you know, and how can you make that more valuable? How can you insert, you know, some marketing messages in there? Can you hit Google Analytics account to see which pages they visited right before registering for an account, and offer up, you know, a call to action? If you're an e-tailer, here are the products that you looked at right before you registered. If you're a B2B customer, schedule a tour or a demo with, you know, sales rep in this region, because we know from your analytics that you live in Missouri, type of stuff. So a lot of things that you could do to look at your existing automation to add some value in your transactional messaging.
And if you need some help, reach out to your ESP, reach out to, if you're a ListShark customer, reach out to us. You know, we've got people waiting to, you know, help you out, help you through, the strategy and the deployment.
Yeah. Can I offer up some metrics before we sign off?
Go ahead.
So the one thing that we did for another retailer earlier this fall was that a really stark order confirmation email. And we said, hey, could we just please take that collective intelligence filter that you have running on your website right now and inject it into your order confirmation email? So just say, hey, you've bought National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Other people that bought Christmas Vacation also bought Fletch and The Great Outdoors and some other Chevy Chase movie. And we found, while those order confirmation emails were a cost center, they weren't making this retailer any money, they're now making 16 cents off of every order confirmation email. So they're increasing their average order by 16 cents for every email. And it was a minute amount of work that we put into it.
And that really is set it and forget it. That's really complete automation. All of that invested up front, and, you know, really wasn't that much to get them there. So, yeah, definitely. Awesome stuff. We also have our first webinar scheduled for 2010. What's Working Now in Email Marketing with Bob Lai. And you can register for that out on our website now as well.
Yeah, so Bob found us because he replied to one of our transactional messages, and he said, you know, you could be getting much higher response on these transactional messages. And then I replied to Bob and said, well, come on to one of our webinars and tell us how to do that, Bob. So I'm looking forward to him picking apart some of our stuff that we're doing. Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
But
and maybe he forgot how he found us. But needless to say, I know Bob from years ago. My wife is a copywriter, and she's had a number of Bob's books on the bookshelf. So when that email came through, I knew that we had a good presenter on the hook. And Megan's blushing. I don't think he's going to really pick it up. but Needless to say, it'll be another good one, and will probably ground us to back to thinking about really common sense direct response techniques that work. You know, in the days of Twitter, you know, sort of get entranced and you know, doing the Twitter, you know, sleepwalking when we're like, oh, Twitter, oh, Facebook, oh, LinkedIn.
There's a lot of that these days.
You know, Bob's going to go back and get us grounded in saying, hey, don't forget the most powerful word in direct marketing. And don't forget about, you know, using bullets, breaking up your paragraphs into bullets, and don't forget how humans read and react and that sort of thing. So anyway, it'll be great to start 2010 off on a good footing.
Well, happy holidays to everyone, and good luck on all of your holiday campaigns here in the next week or two.
Right on.
And we will talk to you all next time.
See you later.
Bye-bye.